In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Conversation this morning. And as always, it's great to be with all of you as we are still in what is called the Easter Triduum. Easter Triduum is Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, which of course culminates in the high point of the Easter Triduum, which is Easter itself, in which we celebrate Easter, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we'd like to invite to be with us the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary is the Mother of God, Mary is the Mother of the Church, and Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. So we'd like to invite Mary to be with us as we say the prayer that Mary loves most. And that prayer is the Hail Mary. So together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, my friends, let's invite to be with us our spiritual director. What a blessing it is to have as our spiritual director the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many titles. The Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sanctifier. He who makes us holy. Holy Spirit is also known as our counselor, as well as our consoler. And St. Paul reminds us in his letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 8, that we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so that we can say, Abba. So we can say, Abba, Abba, which is Daddy or Father. So let's turn to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to give us a lot of light, the interior fire of love, as we say. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint John Bosco, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's holy angels and God's saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Quite true. The family that prays together stays together. And we are the perseverance family that we come together every day to start off our day by praying together. True. The family that prays together stays together. So after we pray together, then I offer my special prayers for all of you. Given that today is Holy Saturday, we actually don't have a Mass during the day until the evening, in which we actually celebrate the Vigil Mass for Easter, which is a very, very beautiful Mass. It's a very, very beautiful Mass, the Vigil Mass of Easter. The Vigil Mass of Easter. So I'd like to already place you on the altar for the evening Mass, which we celebrate the glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to offer these special intentions. First, that all of you, as we go through this Easter Triduum, that God would shower you with copious, abundant graces, as a showering, a downpour of rain upon the dry ground. May our hearts be open to the downpouring of the grace of God in these holy days. My second intention will be, I'd like to pray for your families. For your families. That many of your family members, many of your family members who are possibly far from God, would open up their hearts to the love of God. These days of grace, in which God is knocking at the doors of our hearts, that many of your family members would listen to that gentle knocking of Jesus, knocking at the doors of their hearts. So that they would open up their hearts to the love of God. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. That they would return to the practice of the sacraments through a good confession. Through a good confession. And be able to receive once again the Eucharist, which is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And finally, I'd like to pray in a special way for the world situation, for world peace. Last night, as we celebrated the liturgy of Good Friday, there was an added prayer. The last prayer was that of praying for the Ukraine. Other prayers were praying for Christians, for the church, for the Jews, for non-believers, for the persecuted. But there was an added one. It was to pray for the situation in the Ukraine, that through the intercession of Mary, for Pope Francis consecrated the Ukraine as well as Russia to Mary on March 25th, which was the solemnity of the annunciation that miracles would come about, that there would be peace. So my friends, those are our intentions. I'll pray for you that you'll be able to receive many, many graces. Many, many graces. That you would be open to God's blessings. That all of us would also recognize that what Christ went through 2,000 years ago, he went through that for us. He went through that incredible suffering for love of us. So I'd like to go through various points to set us on the right path liturgically. Where are we in this very important week of the year, Holy Week? And I'd like to just rewind what we've done up to this point, and then we'll focus upon Holy Saturday and what is the meaning of Holy Saturday. So, we are in what is called the Easter Triduum. By Triduum, we actually mean 3 days. The 3 days which leads us up to Easter itself. So this Easter Triduum consists of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, today Holy Saturday, and starting tonight with the Easter Vigil Mass, we enter into the joy of the Lord. We enter into the celebration of our Lord's rising from the dead. So those are the days. I'd like to just refresh our mind as to the meaning of these days, because they're so rich. And as Saint Ignatius Loyola says, it's a good idea to go back and do repetitions, because there's still many graces in store for us. As St. Francis Sales says, a bee will go into a flower and take nectar, but then leave to come back again, because there's still more nectar or honey for the bee to take. So we're called to sometimes review, to revisit these moments, these days, these events of grace. So Holy Thursday is a day in which we go back to the upper room in Jerusalem, which is called the Cenacle. We go back to the Last Supper, which was the first Mass. A day of great, great importance for all of the world, especially we as Christian Catholics. There, Holy Thursday, we go to the Cenacle, the upper room, and these are the various events. And biblically, because we're always focusing upon the Word of God in our conversation, we have the institution of the Eucharist, which we find in the Synoptic Gospels, which would be Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But we have the Last Supper discourse of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which I invite you to read. This Last Supper discourse can be found in the Gospel of Saint John. And it's John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. That's right, those 5 chapters in the Gospel of Saint John are chapters in which our Lord is giving his last discourse to his apostles before he enters into his passion, suffering and death. These chapters are of sublime depth and importance for us. John chapter 13, my friends, we have Jesus is at the Last Supper, as well as the other chapters in which he's giving that Last Supper discourse. And what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ does is he washes the feet of the apostles. And he says, what I have done, you are also called to do. You call me master, and it is true. But see, the master is serving others. As I have served others, so you're called to be of service to others. Then at the Last Supper, our Lord calls his disciples friends. That's right. He calls them friends. And I think we should renew our commitment to really grow in our friendship with Christ. One way in which we grow in our friendship with Christ, my friends, is by our decision to spend time with our best friend, and our best friend is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is, as they say in Spanish, el amigo que nunca falla. He's the friend that will never fail us. Then there at the Last Supper, Jesus gives his last and his greatest commandment, which is the commandment of love. He says, love one another as I have loved you. If you love me, keep my commandments. No greater love than to give one's life for his friends. Then at the Last Supper, Jesus gives us very consoling words. And those words are, he says, he's going now to the Father. And he will go to the Father to prepare a place for us. So that where he is, we also will be. And he goes on to say, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not tell you. I am going now to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you also may be. In other words, Jesus is speaking about the reality of heaven. The reality of heaven. He's going to prepare a place for us in heaven. Going to prepare a place for us in heaven. In heaven. And then, my friends, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. But rather, I will send another one. Who is this other one that Jesus is sending? The other one that Jesus is sending is God himself. We pray to him at the beginning of every perseverance conversation. He is the paraclete. Jesus says, I'm going now to prepare a place for you. So that where I am, you also might be. I'm sending to you the gift of the Father, the paraclete. So my friends, as we're going to be entering into the Easter season, we're also going to be entering into the meditation upon the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles, sometimes known as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. So that is the last discourse of Jesus at the Last Supper. And of course, there at the Last Supper, Jesus institutes two sacraments. The sacrament of his body, blood, soul, and divinity. The sacrament of the Eucharist. But also our Lord institutes another sacrament, and that is holy orders. Therefore, we should renew our faith, our devotion, our love toward the greatest of all sacraments, the sacrament of the Eucharist. St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor, says that the best disposition of heart we should have in receiving the Eucharist would be that of a real hunger for Christ. Jesus said from the cross, "I thirst." Psalm 42, verse 1, reminds us with these words. As the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. As the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. We should have this yearning, this longing, this hunger, this thirst for the Eucharist. Then also, we have the institution of the Eucharist, rather of the priesthood. The institution of the priesthood. And of course, my friends, without the institution of holy orders, we do not have the Eucharist. When Pope Benedict XVI was Pope, he proclaimed a year of the priesthood. In this year of the priesthood, Pope Benedict said to pray for the priests, for the priesthood. And the Curia of Ars said, "No priest, no mass, no mass, no consecration, no consecration, no Holy Communion, no Holy Communion, no Eucharist, no Eucharist, no Jesus. No Jesus, then we are spiritual orphans that you lay people are dependent upon the presence and the person of the priest and the power that comes from the holy orders. So Holy Thursday was a day in which we called to mind the importance of the priesthood. It's the day of the priesthood. So we are eternally grateful that Christ has shared with us his eternal priesthood, we who are priests. You're a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So my friends, that is a recap. It's a recap, or it's a summary, my friends, of Holy Thursday. And the focal point of Holy Thursday, my friends, Is the upper room also called the cenacle? And the focal point is the Last Supper. And of course, the Last Supper was the first Holy Mass. Last Supper, the first celebration of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Then, my friends, Good Friday. Good Friday. Good Friday is a day in which we go from the Last Supper in the upper room and we go heading toward Calvary. We go heading toward Calvary. There's really very, very much that can be said on the topic of Good Friday. But I think a good way to give a succinct summary of Good Friday is we renew or we revisit this special scene and we beg for the special graces that are present on it, would be to go to Calvary and we, with the Blessed Virgin Mary, we stand underneath the cross. So I'm going to tell you right now, it's a bridge between Good Friday and Holy Saturday. There's a intimate link between these two very important days in the Easter Triduum. So let us use our contemplative mindset. Let us go to Calvary. Let us stand underneath the cross of Calvary with especially Jesus' three best friends. Sometimes, my friends, when we feel abandoned, when we're going through a time of desolation, when it seems as everything is falling apart, when it seems as if no one seems to really understand us, when it seems as if the clouds are darkening, when it seems as if we're driving through a dark tunnel in which there's no light at the end of the tunnel, when it seems as if our hopes have been shattered, that's how the apostles felt at the death of Christ. A profound cloud of desolation. We should remember that thousands of people followed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thousands. Thousands. But at the end of his life, he basically had three faithful followers. Basically three faithful followers. And they were Mary Magdalene, St. John the Evangelist, and his Blessed Mother. That's right, St. Mary Magdalene, St. John the Evangelist, and his Blessed Mother. Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen says that each one of those, they symbolize three different states of life. And they would be Saint Mary Magdalene symbolizes basically penitence or repentance. That's right. She symbolizes a life of repentance. That was the thrust of Lent, trying to go through a deeper process of conversion in these 40 days. Mary Magdalene lived a checkered life. The first part of her life, she lived a life of promiscuity, we might say. A life of immorality. That's true. But Christ had a great love for her and trusted that his love for her, the true love of Christ, would convert her. And it happened. Mary Magdalene, my friends, had seven devils within her. That's right. She had seven devils, so Jesus actually had to carry out an exorcism on Mary Magdalene. In the movie Jonathan Rumi, we see the person Mary Magdalene tormented by devils. And after her conversion, we see Mary Magdalene is a faithful disciple of Christ. I honestly believe, my friends, that Mary Magdalene can be a real encouragement to many of us because we're all sinners. We all have made many mistakes. We all have abandoned the Lord. We've all given in to our passions, to our selfishness in one way or another. We're all weak. But Mary Magdalene returned to Jesus with all of her heart. And she loved him fully, totally, unreservedly. Fully, totally, and unreservedly did she love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he loved her. And many of the men were basically using Mary Magdalene, using her as an object. Our Lord was the one that showed to her her innate dignity, that she had worth, that she had importance, that she had a great mission, such that when our Lord appears, the writers say that Mary Magdalene became an apostle to the apostles. That's right. Mary, seeing Jesus, she becomes an apostle to the apostles to announce the good news that he is risen, which we'll be celebrating even tonight. So the first person that we see underneath the cross as Jesus hangs on the cross, and eventually he's going to be dying, saying, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," is Mary Magdalene. According to tradition, she spent the latter part of her life in a cave, practicing penance and contemplating the cross. Mary Magdalene is a wonderful figure for all of us to recognize that even though we have fallen, God's love for us never grows cold. And as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, where sin abounds, the mercy of God abounds all the more. That's right, where sin abounds, the mercy of God abounds all the more. Where sin abounds, the mercy of God abounds all the more. Where sin abounds, the mercy of God the mercy of God abounds all the more. Where sin abounds, the mercy of God abounds all the more. How good God is. How good God is. So there's the other figure underneath the cross. My friends, we're revisiting Good Friday. We're revisiting Good Friday because there are so many graces that are present there that we have to revisit, and like the bee, to try to derive more and more fruit, honey, from this wonderful, wonderful gift. The next person, my friends, would be that of St. John the Evangelist. That's right. Now, Fulton Sheen, our wonderful commentator, says Mary Magdalene represents penitence. Now, in the person of John the Evangelist, Fulton Sheen points out that John the Evangelist actually represents the priesthood. That's right. The priesthood. Because there, underneath the cross, we know that the Mass is the holy, we know that when we celebrate Mass, it is the holy sacrifice of the Mass that brings us to Calvary, where Christ offers himself as a spotless victim, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So St. John represents the priesthood. A word on that. Some of you know this, others it might be a novelty, but a few years ago, a very important book came out. It's called In Sino Gesù. And this book is basically this, that Christ spoke to this Benedictine Irish priest. This Benedictine Irish priest, and asked this Benedictine Irish priest to record his message. So what happened was, it's somewhat like the diary of St. Faustina Kowalska, but it's a series of messages that Christ communicated to this priest. And what he would write down, what Christ was saying to him. And he would give the day, the year, the day, and the essential message. And I've already read this wonderful book, and maybe you might read it. It's called In Sino Gesù. And it's a book in which Christ speaks to this Benedictine monk, leaving him wonderful messages. And if I had to summarize, this book in 3 points, I would say this. The first is that Christ, the high priest, has a very, very special love for the priests, and is symbolic, the love for the priests, in the person of St. John the Evangelist. That's right. Symbolic of St. John the Evangelist. And on the front cover you see Jesus at the Last Supper, and John the Evangelist resting on the heart of Christ. And the second point would be this. Christ has a great longing for priests that they will truly be, they will see, truly see Jesus Christ as their best friend. That's right. Truly see Jesus Christ as their best friend. He is their best friend. In the Spanish, el amigo que nunca falla. And this best friendship with Christ, seeing St. John the Evangelist as the icon, as the symbol, as the representative, would be by coming to our Lord, coming to visit our Lord, and coming to speak with the Lord. Where? Well, come to visit and speak with our Lord there in the tabernacle, in the Eucharist. There in the tabernacle, there in the Eucharist. And going back to our friend, once again, Venerable Fulton Sheen. He insists that the priest, to be a faithful priest, has to set aside every day an hour. He calls it the holy hour. It's also called the hour of power. The holy hour, which is called also the hour of power. Every day a priest should set aside an hour every day to give undividedly to the Lord. Ideally speaking, to spend an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament. That's right. An hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament. An hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So there we have St. John the Evangelist representing the priesthood. At the end of the life of Fulton Sheen, he retired from active ministry as a bishop. He gave himself the latter part of his life to giving retreats to priests. And on this day, giving retreats to priests, he would insist upon making that holy hour to the priest and bishop, and he said, when you speak, sometimes they don't listen. But when I speak, they do listen. And he mentioned the reason. He said, the reason is because I make my daily holy hour, and he called it the hour of power. And actually, Fulton Sheen died December 9th, 1979. And as he died, where did he die? He died in front of the Blessed Sacrament. What a great way to go. There he was, his last hour on earth, there in his front of his, in his chapel in Manhattan, New York, because he had a, his residence was in New York City. And there he is making his last holy hour and dying in front of the Eucharistic presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a great way to go. He dies and he opens his eyes to eternity, and who is he looking at? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who definitely would have given him a warm welcome. Let us pray that the church would overcome all obstacles so that Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen will be beatified, then canonized. Let me just tell you, because there's already other miracles. One miracle that I heard, which had moved him from becoming venerable to blessed, was, I think it happened in the year 2009, I'm pretty sure, many years ago. But anyway, there was a nurse who was in the hospital, and this woman, the baby died within the womb. I'm sorry. The baby came out and the baby died. I think this is the way it happened. And the relic of Fulton Sheen was placed on this dead baby and the baby came back to life. So obviously that would be, and that's been proved clinically, biologically, that it was a miracle. So let's pray to Fulton Sheen for the priesthood, for priests. And finally, my friends, we're reviewing Good Friday leading up to Holy Saturday, and we have the Blessed Mother. And Fulton Sheen states that Mary underneath the cross represents innocence. So Magdalene penitence, Saint John the Evangelist, priesthood, and Mary represents innocence. So this day is a day in which we want to try to contemplate the face of Christ through the eyes and the heart of Mary. That's right. To try to contemplate the face of Christ through the eyes and the heart of Mary. That's the whole, one of the essential meanings of Holy Saturday. Contemplate the face of Christ through the eyes and heart of Mary. To relive Good Friday through the eyes and heart of Mary. And that's why the movie of Mel Gibson was a masterpiece. Because really we see the passion of Christ through the presence of the eyes and the heart of Mary. So there at the foot of the cross, Jesus dies and the soldier pierces the heart of Christ with a lance, from which blood and water comes gushing forth. And St. Augustine, as well as the fathers of the church, point out that that was a key gesture. The blood and water gushing forth from the heart of Christ, symbolic of the birthday of the church. From his open heart gushed forth water and blood. Mary witnessed this, as did St. John the Evangelist, who wrote it. The water is symbolic of two sacraments, of purification. Symbolic of the sacrament of baptism. Easter Vigil Mass, you have the baptism of the catechumens. Water is symbolic of baptism. But also it's symbolic of confession. Symbolic of confession. Which the soul is washed clean of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation. The blood that gush forth from the heart side of Christ is symbolic of the great sacrament of the Eucharist. Here we have a picture of it in my little Divine Mercy booklet. So the water gushing forth, baptism and confession, the blood, red rays, the blood gushing forth is symbolic, my friends, of the great sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. Mary witnessed this. Now, a very tender scene there at the foot of the cross is two of our Lord's secret followers, whose names were Joseph of Arimathea. Both of them were well off. They're rich men, secret followers of Christ. Joseph of Arimathea asked for the body of Christ. Nicodemus shows up also. So it's a good idea to even contemplate them taking the nails from the hands of Christ. The nails from his feet. And have Jesus lowered into the arms of Christ. Michelangelo, one of his artistic masterpieces, of course, would be that of the Pietà. The Pietà in which you see the dead body of Christ being lowered into the arms of Mary, and Mary looking, contemplating. The limp, dead body of her son. Then the film of Mel Gibson, we see that Mary is actually wiping the wounds of Christ. Gently wiping the wounds of Christ. Then the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was Joseph of Arimathea that actually went to Pontius Pilate. And he asked Pontius Pilate if Pontius Pilate would relinquish the body and give the dead body of Jesus to him for the purpose of burial. And Pontius Pilate agreed to that. And a reading on this, which is very beautiful, goes on to say that that was one of the most important questions or requests that we can make. To ask for the body of Christ. That we actually receive every time we receive Holy Communion. We ask and receive the body of Christ, and we should ask Mary, as we see the body of Christ lowered into her gentle, loving arms. That we would receive Jesus with the same love, faith, tenderness, devotion, as did the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, my friends, that is Holy Saturday. Then the body of Jesus would be buried in the tomb that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea, a tomb that was never used before. The body of Jesus would be covered with the linen. Nicodemus brought 100 pounds of precious oil perfume to anoint the body. And then the stone would be placed in front of the tomb. And we await with great joy the resurrection. Mary never lost hope. but you always trust it. One last note, my friends, is we're making the Novena of Divine Mercy. So we start the Novena of Divine Mercy actually yesterday, Good Friday, and it ends 9 days later, which happens to be Divine Mercy Sunday. So make sure that you make, that you, if you've missed one day, maybe make 2 days today, do the Novena of Divine Mercy. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.